Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I'm ready. I'm going to a baseball game. Also, I'm ready for the show. Yeah, let's totally do that.
Just for the record, that was Molly Wood with a deep sigh to begin, not me. Just, you know,
just saying. It's true.
I'm not the only purveyor of deep sighs in this shop.
Yeah. You will be assimilated into the deep sighs. Resistance is futile. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood, or apparently Molly Wood with a touch of Kai Rizdahl today. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where even on a Monday, even with shared deep sigh vibes, we're going to do what we can to make today make sense.
As we were chit-chatting with one Bent Holiday before he actually turned the music on, today is a Monday in like so many different ways, and I'm a little scared to think of what Thursday might be like if we're already a little hollowed out on a Monday.
Oh God!
If I can tell you the truth. Anyway, you know the drill. It's 15 minutes, start to finish. If Molly and I are on our game, we'll do a little news, do a little make me smileish things, and send you all on your merry ways. And that's where we are. There we go.
Thursday, I just pulled up the calendar. And indeed, as suspected, Thursday is the exact 1 year anniversary of the date that we have pegged as sort of the official start, the date that we shut down travel from Europe, the NBA canceled all its games, and Tom Hanks said that he had the coronavirus. Yeah. So
and Biden's giving a speech,
maybe.
Actually.
Biden's giving a speech. So we were right.
And also, well, you keep saying we, which is very, very charitable of you, but in my memory, you're the one who said it was the 11th of March.
Yeah, maybe.
You're the first one I ever heard say that. Fair. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so own it,
man. Actually, Biden got that from this show. I think we have to assume that was it's the obvious conclusion.
That's right.
It might have been a roundabout way.
I'm sorry. Oh,
but
my
you're
God.
Welcome.
I snort there on that laugh, God. Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right.
But yeah, it's you know what? I'm glad we had this little talk though, because it sort of explains why almost everybody I know, and I bet you listening right now, is having like a Monday and you're not sure why. And it's probably all of these associated feelings with the like, here we are in the week where it all started, back where we started in some ways.
100%.
Still having.
Not a doubt in my military mind.
God, yeah, seriously. Still having in some ways, and this is a nice segue into my two stories, some of the same damn conversations. To an almost unbelievably infuriating extent. So this weekend, it was reported on Sunday, actually, the Wall Street Journal had a big story stating, I think we can agree in some ways, the obvious, which is that there is a campaign to undermine confidence in the vaccines that, though, the journal identified as coming specifically from Russia. Russian intelligence agencies are mounting this big disinformation campaign using online publications to question the vaccine's development and safety. Today, the president said, we will do everything we can to combat this disinformation. Every tool we have, according to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. I mean, that's great to hear, except we don't have that many tools. So that's a problem. And then there was a piece in that I was just looking at, which I think was also the Wall Street Journal, about how as vaccine eligibility expands, interest could wane. And a lot of people in their 40s, age 40 to 64 and 18, in particular, 18 to 39, less than half of the people who have not been vaccinated say that they will get the vaccine. The top two reasons that they cite are they want to wait and see if it's safe because they're worried about probably all the stuff they've been seeing on Instagram and Facebook as a part of this disinformation campaign, and that they don't know if it will work. That's among the definitely and probably will not. And then, but the number two reason that most of them give, at least the ones who say probably will get a vaccine, they say because others need it more so far.
Hmm. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
We're
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole
people not taking a thing. Just get the shot. Get the shot. But that does kind of lead into I've got two of the mini variety. One of which is that the CDC was out new guidelines today on what people who are fully vaccinated can do. And there's a list of things you can do. But the CDC is also saying, even if you're fully vaccinated, please don't travel. And that gets me to this thing that we've dabbled in a little bit on this pod in the last number of weeks and months. And that is the messaging and the delivery of information on this thing. I worry that if people see the CDC saying, "Ooh, yeah, you got both your shots. Awesome. That's great. Don't go anywhere." If there's one thing that I think everybody who has abided by most of the regulations so far this past year is screaming for, it's to be able to go somewhere. And I really just wish they would reconsider their messaging on this, because I don't think it does us any good if they say, "Oh, well, no, you got great both shots. That's great. But you still can't do this stuff you've been dying to do." That will just lead people to discount and not get the shot and travel anyway and all this stuff. And that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I think
bothers me a little.
Back to the idea of what are all the tools that we have to combat this disinformation. Yeah. It's like, and this is the, I'm stopping myself from even saying this, but there was a point in the middle of the pandemic when things were extremely terrible and no one should have been contemplating this at all. That nevertheless, the Trump administration was contemplating like a marketing campaign, right? Like a "we got this" kind of marketing campaign. We're beating it. We weren't. Yeah. That was not true, and we were not even taking steps as a federal government to fight it. But now we are. And honestly, among the tools that could fight the disinformation, like maybe now it's time for we can all do this, and we can, and if we all pull together and row in the same direction, maybe we can get our lives back. Like, maybe now is the time for that, but I agree that CDC guidelines are, like, a bummer.
Yeah, it's a drag. And look, this whole thing is a drag, and not everybody's inoculated yet, and not enough people, but, man, there's got to be some hope. There needs to be hope. That's my one thing. Other thing is this. It's a follow-up from a thing I had on a couple of weeks ago about the Trump Pentagon having purposefully delayed the promotion of two women to four-star general rank and command of one of the 11 combatant commands, or two, actually, because there's two of them, combatant commands in the military. And the combatant commands are the top layer. They're the ones that are fighting the wars and getting us stuff, and that's all the really important stuff. And I had mentioned that the Pentagon had delayed these because they were worried that then President Trump would say, no, I don't want those women. I've got my own people. And so the Pentagon had withheld them, hoping that President Biden would then forward the nominations for four-star rank and these commands to the Congress, which has to approve commission officer promotions. And in fact, that is what happened this weekend. But here's the more interesting part of this story, and I found this in Defense One, and here's the passage. A woman has never led a military branch, that is Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, or been a member of the Joint Chiefs, right, which is Commandant of the Marine Corps, Chief of Naval Operations, those guys. Over the next 4 years, Biden will get to nominate new commanders of each military branch, as well as the Joint Chiefs, Chairman, Vice Chairman, and National Guard Bureau. There are some changes coming to the Pentagon, because there will be women in those ranks. There will be women in those ranks. There will be people of color in those ranks. And that will be, A, great to see, but also just so overdue. It's amazing. And I just think that's cool. And props to Defense One for ferreting out that little piece of information. It's really highly relevant, especially right now. And I think that's cool.
And it's International Women's Day, too.
So It is indeed.
There you go. That is a remarkable story on a lot of levels. Yeah. And I'm going to stick with the positive, which is that at least now it's happening. And Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Ben. Ben,
help us.
There we go.
Stop me from myself right now.
I love your item. I think this is fascinating. Totally.
I love this. Okay, so first of all, I had, as a make me smile, happy ? International Women's Day, because yes, there are still many reasons to be frustrated with our pace, including the very idea that we were afraid it would annoy and upset the former president to nominate women to be in charge of military stuff. So
it's
we did it. It's
crazy.
It's causing a flush to creep up my neck right now. Nevertheless, let us remember our power on this day. And also, I kind of just love this story, yes, about how Mackenzie Scott, ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, who has given away like $4 billion of her fortune and is just like, keep giving out the money and whatever, has remarried, not to like a famous hot person like her husband's been running around with, but I'm just leaning into the International Women's Day vibe. She married a science teacher. It's delightful. I think it's absolutely delightful. And then it's so charming because he, you know, has the giving. She has put out this giving pledge, which is basically like, I'll give away all my money or something before I die. And so then he signed on to her giving pledge and essentially was like, this is weird because I am a teacher, so I never thought I was going to have the kind of wealth that would require me to feel like it meant anything at all to say I'm going to give away my wealth. Like, totally, like, me too, buddy. Anyway, he signed on to her giving pledge, and they're getting married, and I just think it made me smile.
It's cute, and it's cool, and it's nice, and more power to him, and
nice.
I hope they're very happy, for sure. Totally, mm-hmm. totally. Okay, this might mean less to people who are not in California, but every time the New York Times writes about California, it's always a quirky little, oh, look, there's traffic in Los Angeles, or, hey, have you heard about this thing called Silicon Valley in the New York Times? And it makes me crazy, right? Today in the newspaper of record, the best bagels are in California. Sorry, New York, which I just kind of love. It's like, come on, man. I mean, good for
them.
And
you know what I loved even more is that they started with this bagel company that I have been ordering from since the pandemic started, thanks to my friends, Boychuk Bagels. Yeah, it just opened. You know, think that this is, I'm double checking because this is bylined Berkeley.
Berkeley, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that I thought Boychuk was in Oakland. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, and I'm going to find out before I have like a fit about it, because we get like this in Oakland. But I am so excited because it is totally true. I have ordered them, and it's amazing. They're amazing.
I also learned something. I learned something in this piece,
it's
by the
Berkeley.
Way. There's such
I
a thing
wrong.
as a Oh, is it? All right. Well, you know, I get it.
There
that's
you go.
Like
anyway, whatever.
Bay Area thing. There is such a thing as a Montreal-style bagel. I imagine there are all kinds of different style bagels. I had no idea. I just thought, what's a Montreal-style bagel?
I suppose there are.
A Montreal?
Yeah,
I was
really excited. And backstory, I checked into Twitter just once or twice today, and then I did my squats and push-ups. But I noticed at some point that everyone was talking about bagels. Like, my whole feed, like, it popped up and it was all bagels. And somebody was like, is Twitter fun again? It's all bagels. And I was like, wow, this seems really fun, but I'm too busy today to find out what the heck is going on. And then I looked at our rundown and you had the answer in the form of this story. And I was like, thanks, Kai, for explaining what in the H is happening on Twitter today.
yes, all bagels.
Also,
all
I'm totally going to order these bagels again because they're so good. They are really good.
I would say. You got good bagels up there. You got good beer up there. Holy cow.
It's good living. Come on up. The pool's almost done.
All right.
That is, I'm petitioning to host the Marketplace Pictures, holiday please. Party in like August or whatever. That is it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with a deep dive that is sure to make us furious on child care policy. In America, this week, a year ago, we went into lockdown. We've talked about women being disproportionately affected. And of course, one of the possible solutions to getting women in the labor force post-pandemic is better childcare policies. A lot of this has been thrown into stark relief lately. We'll talk about what it might take to make that happen, hopefully in a solution-y way. It's going to be great. In the meantime, keep the questions and comments coming. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org.
A solution-y way.
I'm not annoyed at all about International Women's Day. Not annoyed at all. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, our digital producer, whatever that means. You know what? Choose your own adventure. What does it mean to you? It's Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and our Make Me Smart explainers.
Ben Talladay engineered today. He also wrote our theme music with Daniel Ramirez. Donna Tam is the senior producer of this podcast, the executive director of On Demand around here. Is Sitar Neves. And there you go. There you go.
We're gonna need a new bit someday.
Yeah, we are.
Don't
actually.
Worry. Don't worry, Tony. Your time in the meat grinder is probably almost up. We'll come up with a new bit.
Well, you know, it was Ethan Stern for a long time. Now it's been Tony Stern. Who's next? I don't know. Yeah. Step right up.
Enjoy your moment in the spotlight. I'm serious. These bagels are delicious.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.